Friends, hear the word of God from Philippians 4 for you today. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, for the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And from Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together all his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that was lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, fill our hearts with joy. Fill our hearts with joy. Be with us, Lord, in this time and place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I heard this week from Stephanie that there's a fine line between a long, drawn-out sermon and a hostage situation. So this one will be brief. I did read about a wife who lost something of her husband's at church one Sunday. She dropped her purse in the aisle of the church, and out came rolling this large television remote control. And the usher asked her, "Do you always bring your TV remote to church with you?" "Oh," she said, "this is my husband's, and he refused to come to church today, so this is probably the worst thing I could do to him." We all know what it's like, though, to lose something or someone and to rejoice when you find it, right? Ever lost something really, really precious and sentimental? For me, it was my wedding rings. I think I told you a few years ago about just laying them down, putting lotion on my hands, laying them down on a comforter, and then forgetting about it and going back later, and that comforter had been moved and the rings were nowhere to be found. And so I was just like the lady with the 10 coins. I had the flashlight. Ed's like, I was too. Yes, you were too, hon. Yes. Very clean house after that. We had the flashlights, we were vacuuming, we were looking everywhere, and a few days later, I noticed that there was something shiny in this purse hanging up a few feet away from where the comforter had been, and the rings, somehow, both of them, were in there together. Talk about hours of heartache and then joy. When I found them. See, Ed agrees. He says, yes, joy. It's horrible to lose something sentimental like that, but what about something that you need right away, like when you lose your car keys or your contact lens falls on the floor when you're getting ready to leave? That's frustrating, right? What about losing a child? Losing a child. I remember losing Jacob as an 18-month-old toddler in New Jersey, and let me just say there's a difference between shopping in Oklahoma and shopping in New Jersey. There's a few more people out there. So I remember him letting go of my hand in this crowded store at Christmas time with tons of people. You're just shoulder to shoulder, so many sights and sounds, and he wandered off, not even aware that he was lost. Meanwhile, my heart stopped. I couldn't breathe. I started yelling for him and frantically searching, and those 5 minutes seemed like an eternity before I saw his little body coming out from a rack of clothing. And I started to breathe again when I grabbed him and scooped him up and hugged him and told him to never run away again. We all know what it's like to lose something or someone valuable to us and then to rejoice when we find it. But let's face it, these stories are strange about a lost sheep and a lost coin. They're different. I mean, sure, a sheep and a coin are important, but not so important that you would stop your whole life to find them or throw a party, right? They're strange. And they don't really fit with our life today. We don't go around with sheep in our yard, most of us. Okay, Patty does. The rest of us do not. And we don't usually go around looking for one lost coin, but these are parables, which means we're kind of in for this wild ride with Jesus because there's all these layers of meaning, and we have to realize that these stories were told in response to the criticism of the goody two-shoes, Pharisees and scribes, who cannot believe that Jesus loves sinners. And it's kind of like Jesus is saying, you want to know how much I love sinners? Listen to this. So often we read the Bible as kind of a how-to manual or a don't do this list of rules and regulations, but the Bible, especially Jesus' parables, are stories not so much about how to do life, but stories about how God does it. These two stories are primarily about the character of God, not us, which Jesus makes pretty clear in his tongue-in-cheek introduction. Which one of you, having 100 sheep, does not leave the 99 to go after the one until he finds it and then rejoices with friends? What? No one. No one does this. This is not the way a shepherd works. You don't go all out for one lost sheep. You count your blessings that you've got the 99, right? And again, Jesus tries that same logic with the second story. What woman, having 10 silver coins and loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the entire house until she finds it, and then throws a party? What? No woman does this. We're far too practical. The party would cost more than the 10 coins. No one does this. These are stories about the character of God, not us. These are stories about the lengths that God will go to seek and save the lost. These are stories about the joy that God has when one lost person is found. The numbers in the story, they're meaningful. You know how that's true all throughout the Bible, like the number 40 and 7. Well, these numbers, 10 and 100, they were considered complete numbers, whole numbers. To have one missing from them was to be incomplete. So the sheepfold and the coin collection are incomplete, and Jesus is trying to make them whole again. In other words, this is how far God will go to make our community whole again, to make us whole again. So what do you think? Aren't we at different times in our lives the lost sheep or lost coin? Aren't we sometimes the people who have wandered away from our faith, away from the community? Aren't there times when parts of us are lost and incomplete? I think so. And this story reminds us that God will go all out searching for us. We talk a lot in church about looking for God, trying to find God. But these stories remind us that God is out there trying to find us. Think about that for a minute. We believe in a God who goes out looking for us. That's amazing, right? It's great. Because sometimes we are just like my kiddo at Christmas. We've let go of God's hand. We don't even know we're lost. We're so busy looking around at everything the world has to offer. And all the while, God is frantically calling our name, wanting to bring us home. Ever been in that place? Lost and you didn't know it? Sometimes I think we're like a lost coin. We fall down in between the sofa cushions and we can't do anything to get ourselves out. We just wait. We wait for this loving God to find us, pick us up, and then throw a party. Ever felt like that lost coin? Like you can't do anything about your situation? You can't get back up and out? You're just waiting on God to show up? Haven't we all been in that place? And sometimes we are like the lost sheep who probably wandered away. And God leaves the rest of the fold to come after us and even throws a party in our honor in heaven. We are carried home on the shoulders of Jesus. Talk about amazing grace. It's just like that hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Do you remember the last time you were lost? Do you feel lost right now? Have you wandered away? Have you maybe fallen into the sofa cushions and you feel like you can't get out? If so, this is the good news. God is out looking for you. God wants to find you, carry you home, home to a community of faith, a place where you belong, because that's the kind of God we believe in. A God of amazing grace, a God who looks for every single person who is lost and rejoices when they are found. A God who says there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 who don't need it, which is a whole heck of a lot of irony because we all need it. This is the kind of God we have, a God who wants to bring people in to make a community whole and complete, knowing that without the lost ones, we are not whole, and truth be told, we are all really the lost ones who need to be brought in. Jesus came for the lost. He came for the broken people just like us. In Luke 5, when asked why he eats and drinks with sinners, this is what Jesus said. He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come to call to repentance." Jesus came for the broken people, which is great news, if you ask me. Just before our story of these lost objects in Luke 15, there's a story in Luke 14 about inviting all the lost and broken people to a great banquet, not just the friends and family who refused to come. Jesus comes for the broken. Over this past week, I've started attending some prayer meetings again for Owosso pastors. In the past, it's been challenging for me to always get to these meetings. They're early in the morning, and it's been hard for me to get to them sometimes because of family and other obligations, but truth be told, it's really hard because I'm the only woman pastor in town. And we pastors that get together, we have many different opinions on theology. We have many different opinions on whether women or other broken persons can serve the church. And I would not always be accepted in many of these churches. But you know what's so great that I learned again this week? We can still pray together. We can still work together. We still believe in the same Savior, Jesus, and we can work together to serve those in need who are hurting in our community, because that's God's grace in action. We may not all agree, but we can all seek out the lost, just as God seeks us. Many of you know that Presbyterians are really big on grace. My prayer for this church is always that we can live out that grace, that we can continue to be welcoming to everyone, that we can continue to reach out to our community in Owosso. And I believe that these free lunches during the school shutdown, they're an opportunity for us to do that. That welcoming, that reaching out, that showing of God's grace. Jesus' life and teachings were all about grace. Jesus brought the sinners, the women, the broken, the marginalized into the center of his ministry, and he allowed them to do ministry with him. And when he told stories like the lost sheep and the lost coin, he was talking about including people, not excluding them. You know, don't you think that it causes God great sorrow to see so much division within the body of Christ based on who is out? Maybe we should spend more time bringing people in. If we were a church that excluded broken people, I could not be your pastor. You have extended to me God's grace in my brokenness. You have shown it to me in word and deed, and I pray that we would continue to do that for all people, that they would feel welcome, especially the broken and the lost. If we believe in this God who goes all out for one sheep or one coin, should we not also be those same kind of people, the instruments of God's grace in our lives and in the life of this church? And shouldn't we be a place of celebrating and joy, not just on Holy Humor Sunday, but every Sunday, over even one person that gets that relationship with Jesus Christ? I think so. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. It's a gift to be able to share God's grace in the world. It's a gift to celebrate when people come to know Jesus. There's more joy in heaven over one person who decides to go in the right direction, and more joy in church when even one person has that relationship and decides to follow Jesus. May we open our hearts and lives to all who need his grace. And may we welcome others as we have been welcomed, and may we rejoice just as he rejoices with us. To that, all God's people said,
Amen.
Let's make a joyful noise. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith.